Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our hope and Redeemer. Way back in the dim, distant past, when I used to work in the CBD, every now and then during my lunch break, I would go for a walk around the city centre. Not for any particular reason, just simply for the joy of being able to get out of the office and stretch my legs for a bit. And I remember from those days on my wanderings around the CBD, at the corner of Swanson Street and Bourke Street, where the mall begins, there was quite often this fellow who would stand on the steps of the old Australia Post building, and he had his own sort of microphone and speaker set up, and he had with him this little trolley that was sort of reminiscent of one of the old style street sweeper trolleys. And in this trolley he would have various placards saying, with messages like repent and confess your sins. And he would stand on the steps and he would read from scripture. And in particular he would read from those passages that are examples of what we would call apocalyptic literature. He would read about the fire to come, the punishment to come, if we didn't repent of our sins. Naturally enough, not too many people took much notice of him, and those few who did usually did so in order to make fun of him in one way or another, or simply just to stare incredulously at him. But the reason why I remember him is there seemed to be something about him from which I instinctively recoiled. Not because he felt the need to read from scripture on street corners, not because there was any personal element of embarrassment for me, but because there was something about him that I didn't like, from which I recoiled. And I think it was that there wasn't much love in him, or in his words, or in the way that he conducted himself. He seemed to want to talk about judgment and fire and punishment, and he seemed to want to talk about repentance as though it was some kind of grovelling act of fearful begging before God. And it seemed to me that he was in fact completely missing the point, that the call to repentance in fact issues from God's love for us, and that God's judgment upon us is always the judgment of love and not the judgment of retribution. And I think we see an example of that in today's reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Last week we heard a reading from the end of Matthew's Gospel in which he warns against false prophets, in which he warns against the people who say, I am he, in which we are warned that those who presume to know the mind of God are in fact leading us astray. And so we come to a reading from the beginning of Matthew's Gospel in which he shows us John the Baptist, in which he illustrates to us the person who is the one who prepares the way for Jesus, whose ministry is about pointing toward the Messiah, pointing away from himself toward the one who is to come. And we should be struck by that contrast. We should be struck by the difference between the false prophets who say, "I am he," and the one who says, "No, I am the one who comes before. You need to prepare for the one who is coming." Now, Matthew cloaks this in the language of apocalyptic literature. And we have to understand that at the time that Matthew was writing, it was a time of great turmoil. The Jewish revolt against the Romans had been crushed, Jerusalem had been sacked and occupied, and the people were scattered. So this was a time of disaster, of catastrophe, when people were wondering, well, what next? And it is a time when there was a lot of ferment within Judaism, when there were messianic movements who were looking for the Messiah, the one who would come, except that they were expecting that this Messiah would be some kind of great general or war leader or statesman who would kick out the Romans and restore the kingdom of David. But John's message is different. Yes, it is cloaked in the language of apocalyptic literature, which mirrors the disturbance and the uncertainty of the time. But remember, as I have said before, that literature is not about predicting the future. It is about offering a message of hope. But it's a strong message of hope that is couched in terms that we might describe today as tough love. Because the message of hope says, don't just sit back and wait for God to make things to happen. The final word does belong to God, but we have a role to play in the meantime. And that's where that word repent comes into it. Because contrary to that man with his trolley and his microphone and his readings of apocalyptic passages, the word repent doesn't mean some kind of groveling confession before God in which we beg God not to smite us. Repent comes from a Hebrew word that means to turn around or to turn back. In other words, to repent means to return to covenant, to return to relationship with God. And through that turning around, to construct our relationship with one another in the same way. So when John appears and says, repent of your sins, he's not just asking us to make an acknowledgement of our wrongdoing, of our failures. He's asking us to then take the step beyond and to turn around, to turn back to, and in doing so, to affect transformation. And there's a very potent message for us in that. It says, if we want to change, if we want change, then we have to change. A cartoon I saw a couple of years ago sums this up very nicely. there's a minister addressing his congregation, and in one panel he says, "Who wants change?" And everyone puts their hand up. And then in the next panel the minister says, "Who wants to change?" And everyone puts their hands down. Because we all talk about change, but in ways that means we get to keep the status quo. We get to keep the things that make us comfortable. We, in other words, don't change at all. But what today's passage is telling us, and this is the true nature of prophecy, this is the true nature of repentance. What today's passage is telling us is that if we want change, then we need to change. If we want the climate to be healed and restored, then we have to stop constructing our societies in ways that treats the earth as an infinite and disposable resource. If we want change to international relations and the ending of conflict, then international relations have to be changed so that they are structured on the basis of justice and not the self-interest of a clique of powerful nations. If we want reconciliation and healing in this country, then we have to stop pretending that this is not a colonized and invaded land. If we want a whole host of changes, then we ourselves have to change. And that change begins with repentance, with turning back to God, with returning to covenant. But what then are we to do with those images of the winnowing fork and the unquenchable fire? Well, if we understand that God's judgment proceeds from love and that God's wrath is enacted on our behalf and not against us, then we can understand those images as saying that that which is consumed to the flames is that within us which is unworthy of God's love for us. The tree that bears no fruit is that within us which is unworthy of the fact that God has already declared us worthy of love. And so the burning, the casting out, will not be righteous against sinners. It will be that within all of us that is the fountainhead of sin. And you see this in John's response to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He uses some very strong language. He calls them snakes, or in some translations, vipers. And then he says to them, enact the change that demonstrates that you have truly repented. In other words, don't just confess your sins, make the next step. Demonstrate the transformation that proceeds from confession. So in today's reading, we have what at first glance appears to be quite a threatening and frightening text. But when we consider it in context, and when we consider it from the standpoint of God's love for us, then we understand that it is in fact saying something different. Something no less challenging, something no less confronting, but which is about God's declaration of love for us all. And so as we contemplate today's reading on this second Sunday of Advent, as we wonder what this imagery in this reading might mean for us today, let us reflect upon and consider that simple message, that if we truly want change, then we ourselves need to change. And that change is grounded in God's love for us all and in the love that we need to demonstrate to one another. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.